Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:07 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We have not talked about this yet, but maybe the dumbest play I've ever seen in baseball happen. Oh, my goodness. The Pirates cannot be dumber. Cannot be dumber. Did you? If you haven't seen the play, Javi Baez hits a grounder to third. There's a runner, a Cub runner on second. Javi Baez of the Cubs hits a grounder to third. The third baseman throws it to first, and the first baseman is pulled off the bag toward the home plate side. Javi Baez stops, backtracks, and then runs back towards home plate, and the first baseman follows him. As he's running up the first base line, the runner on third comes home. The first baseman finally throws it to the catcher. Too late. The run scores. Javi Baez turns around. Now, there's nobody at first base. The second baseman is over doing I don't know what. And the catcher throws the ball into right field. Javi Baez, safe at first, and gets a little league double off a ground ball to third, an RBI little league double.
You know, I'm watching it again. The first time I saw it yesterday, you're kind of like entranced by what's going on. And then I watched it again, and halfway through the second time, I'm like, why didn't he just turn around and touch first base? And you're out of the inning.
Backpedal to first base.
Yeah.
If the runner doesn't come to you, you just step on the base.
Yeah. When he initially, like you laid out for it, it's a ground ball to the middle, to what? Third, softly hit. And he pulls you off the base, but not enough where you're so far up down the line that you can't just turn around and step on the base.
You're about a yard from first base.
And Baez is so far away from you, you could back up and touch the base, and he wouldn't have made contact with you.
Instead, he runs after Baez, holding the ball while the runner from third scores. It's the most unbelievable. You've been playing baseball. You got to the big leagues.
By the way, the runner didn't start off at third.
Kinda, you're in Pittsburgh.
The runner didn't start off at third where you're freaking out or something. He was at second, so he still had to round third and then come home. It wasn't like a bang-bang thing.
No.
By the way,
it's right in front of you. When he takes off from third, it's right in front of you. You throw the ball to the catcher.
Yeah, it's two outs. You don't even – now that you've decided Baez apparently because he backed up – is really important. He's not that important.
No.
You can still throw home and get the third out of the inning and get that runner in a rundown. But instead, he did what he did.
He did what he did. It was the dumbest play. I mean, I don't know how long I've been watching baseball my whole life. I don't remember a dumber play.
I can't. It seems just simple. Turn around, step on the base, you're out of the inning. It wasn't the bottom of the or top of the ninth where you're trying to.
If you're the manager or the coach and he comes in, you go, is this the first time you played?
This is the dumb play.
Is this the first time you've ever been?
It's a dumb play if it's the top, if it's, you know, one out, top of the ninth. But you shouldn't be so freaked out, pressurized. It's the top of the third inning. Just step on the base. It's not a pressure situation. Where it may have gotten to you because you really don't want that run to score. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even think of a dumber ever dumber play than what we saw there.
I'm so focused on where Baez is when this first baseman catches the ball. Okay. Baez is, I don't know, three quarters away down the line. The throw pulls him off first base, the first baseman. And Baez, freezes because the first baseman's off the bag. Once he freezes, turn around and step on first base and you're out of the inning.
It's over. The inning's over.
Yeah. It's not like it's one out and the runner comes home. You're worried about it. It's two outs. Just, wow. There's no explanation.
Mm-mm.
I wonder what he said after the game. Who was the first baseman? Do we even know?
No, no one knows.
Well, who's the Pirates' first baseman?
First baseman. Yeah. No one could possibly know that. It's an unanswerable question.
Was it Colin Moran? No, it was Will Krug. Will Craig. Will Craig was the first baseman yesterday.
Have you ever heard of a Will Craig in your life?
Not as a baseball player.
No. No, I've never heard of a Will Craig, period, ever. Those two words have never been put together in the history of man.
Oof. Congratulations, Pirates fans. No, that's your baseball team.
No, you're too dumb to have a baseball team now. They should disband the Pirates because they're too dumb to play baseball there. If you were sitting in the stands, you'd be like, by the way, I was sitting in the stands, and it's the eighth inning or the seventh inning, and Yuli's on third base with two outs, and Miles Straw bunts, and Yuli didn't run. Do you remember this play?
No.
Yuli gets the third, two outs, Straw's at the plate, which is never a good thing.
Nope.
Miles, why is it every time the bases are loaded or two outs and runners on second and third, either Taylor Jones or Miles Straw is at the plate, or Chaz McCormick or Maldonado? That's the only time that ever happens. Why are they always up in game situations? Anyway, Straw bunts down the third baseline. The pitcher has no chance, zero chance. And he has to slide to the ground to get the ball. Yuli should have been running on contact. That was unbelievable that Yuli's standing there and he goes back to third base. It's like, Yuli, you can get what? Please, Yuli. And Yuli stealing a base right before Correa homers. I guess that was okay. I guess the thought was run on Bauer, run on Smith. I guess that was the thought. And earlier, was it Tucker? I think Tucker stole a base earlier. Tucker stole a base earlier, so Yuli's like, well, Tucker's going to do it. I don't want to look bad here. Oh, that's right. You got thrown out, Correa homers. And it's a 2-1 game instead of a 3-1 game.
Sorry, I heard some of that, but I'm listening to the Pirates radio call of this. Would you like to hear?
Here's the 0-2 home and a swing and a ground ball on to third base. He took a neck-high pitch and hit it on the ground to third. Now Baez running back toward home plate.
Tag him.
Tag him quickly. And what did Craig do there? They get a run out of that, and now they got to get the out at first. And they throw it into right field. That's going to get a run for the Cubs. Oh, my, what a loony play. And he's in at second base. Just tag him out. What was that? The Cubs are going to get a run, and Baez is safe at second base on a routine ground out to third. Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
I guess that's a Pennsylvania reference.
They have Chipakanawak and stuff like that.
Even the play-by-play guy didn't say, just go step on first base.
No.
Which is the...
Step on first, the inning's over.
The easiest thing to do.
1015, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Answer that? To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
And someone pointed out Greg and H-Town point out, because of the nature of the play, even though the runner scored, if they would have gotten the force out at first, he still would have.
He's still out.
There's still no run scored.
You got to reach first base.
Safely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. So at any point.
They had
that's
multiple.
Why he said the throw to first, he could still get it. Oh, no. They score a run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even still.
No, if you don't get to first base, then it doesn't matter. They hit up the bases loaded. Everybody score.
Yeah. So
if you don't get the first base, it's an out.
A complete and utter failure by everyone in that infield.
Utter failure. Just step on the base, son. So let me ask you this question, though. Houston Rockets. If they had a chance to get Lonzo Ball, I think Lonzo Ball fits the Rockets' needs, right?
Yes. Now it would mean you're giving about $60 million to your point guard position, unless you get out of from John Wall, because Lonzo allegedly is going to be asking for like $20 million a year.
Okay, so well, how about getting out of if you could Eric Gordon? If you get out of Eric Gordon and take him on. Because you might have to do a trade, because he's a restricted free agent. Pelicans might say, well, we can't get anybody to come here. You got Eric Gordon tied up for a couple more years. We'll take him.
Is that what the Pelicans want to do?
Well, yes, I want them to take.
I know what you want them
to
do.
Why are you ruining by telling the Pelicans how
they're not listening?
What a bad deal that is.
You think I need to tell the Pelicans that it's a bad deal?
Yes.
They wouldn't think that otherwise.
Don't the Pelicans screw everything up? Why are you going to help them? School the fish.
Well, they have a newer GM, David Griffin, who was in Cleveland when they won their title. Sure. If you could get out from under, if you buy out Eric Gordon, which I guess is possible, unless you find someone to trade. But if you trade Eric Gordon, you're still taking salary back. Right, what team with operating under cap space?
But you get out of Eric Gordon's salary and you just change it for Lonzo's. I'll take that all day.
But you're not – well, that's if you're trading him for Lonzo, but the likelihood of the Pelicans wanting that in return is unlikely. So if you're just trading Eric Gordon, who are you trading to who's not going to give you bad salary back? Because you got to make cap – unless you trade him to a team with room. What team with room wants Eric Gordon – with cap room wants to take on Eric Gordon's contract?
Well, the Pelicans might.
No, they wouldn't. What for?
Well, because they don't want Lonzo to walk.
Then you trade Lonzo.
He's a restricted, so they can match.
Well, you trade him.
And instead of that, you give Lonzo a little bit more than they want to pay, and then you give him, and you say, listen, well, instead, we'll trade you Eric Gordon for him.
Bing, bing, bing. No.
You don't know nothing about it.
No, they're not. They would rather have Lonzo walk
have
than bring
Eric
Gordon.
Have you ever traded Eric Gordon?
Have
no.
you?
No.
Have you done that before?
No. I'm just saying.
You could, I'm just saying, take a different path. The whole sign and trade.
Yes. I don't even like the balls, but I'll take them.
Yes, of course. If you can get out of Eric Gordon, you're just not going to get anything worth anything for him.
Yeah. But he fits. I mean, there's some questions here. Gary Trent Jr., yeah. Jared Allen.
Well, I knew. I didn't even mention it. On the rundown, for people obviously who don't know, I put on questions and stories, and I mentioned Gary Trent Jr. and Lonzo as options. I left the Jared Allen one. I wanted you to be surprised.
That just makes me nuts. Because you could have just traded straight up for him, and he would be here.
Well, you did. You're part of a three-team deal.
No, yeah. But you could have just, instead of including Indiana with Oladipo, you could have just had LeVert and Jared Allen. And now you want to sign him as a big free agent? Well done. Well played.
Well, I don't know if they do. It's an option.
No. But if they did, that would just be like, oh, my gosh. Well, are you kidding?
Well, the defense.
And he destroyed you when you played him.
The defense of the Rockets at the time by Rockets Twitter was you weren't going to give another big man big money because Jared Allen was going to want big money when you're already paying Christian Wood. Well,
as opposed to Oladipo, what you got? Well, what'd you get for that? That big money you paid.
You got two guys.
What'd you get?
You got an unrestricted free agent, Kelly Olynyk, and then you have Avery Bradley, where you have a team option, which
you're
not going to bring him back.
And with all that, you risked winning some games. Congratulations.
Well, it didn't work. You didn't have to worry.
It didn't work out for you.
You didn't have to worry about that.
But I wouldn't mind any of those guys.
Yeah, the Lonzo Ball thing is appealing, and I just would hope you find a way to get out of John Wall, and I don't see how that's possible. Because if Lonzo wants $20 million for the next however many years, over the next 4 years, unless you do a sign and trade with New Orleans, that's $60 million+ to your point guard position until John Wall leaves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not all about that. Rockets. I guess if they have the chance, and listen, we're coming up on it, right? What is it? June 22nd. June 22nd is the lottery. They better win it.
And by win it, we Sure, number one pick overall would be great, but at least the top four.
I don't even know if I want the number one overall pick because Cade Cunningham is the...
He's the presumptive and clear number one
to everyone. Clear number one pick.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be good. He's probably going to be really good.
You imagine a team in the NBA would accentuate his game and they probably... We talked to Roosh Williams, who does a Rockets podcast. I'm blanking on the name. Sorry. But he talked about what Cade Cunningham can do and what that might mean for an NBA team as opposed to what happened in college. I get why people like him. He's big. He's like 6'7", 6'8", right? Can create his own shot. He's actually a pretty willing passer. And your issues with him not taking over college games. Why, if you can't do that, how can you take over? Well, Zion was a better NBA player than his college, and you would just hope Steven Silas, a guy who, you know, knows offense, would do things to accentuate Kay Cunningham's game. But just stay in the top four if you're the Rockets. Make this season worth it.
They have to. They have to. And just the Rockets' luck, they would be. They wouldn't. They wouldn't. Just the Rockets' luck.
Then your picks would be like 18 and then 20s twice. You'd have like three picks, but they'd all be late in the draft and out of the lottery. Imagine being the worst team in basketball and not having a lottery pick.
Imagine playing the Padres tonight and we're talking about the Rockets.
You brought them up.
I don't want to talk about them anymore.
You got, imagine
Please
Fromber coming back.
Please don't screw this offseason up, okay?
Well, it's going to be the luck of the draw for that, for part of it. The offseason is screwed up if they don't have that pick. And that's out of their control. Except, you know, they gave Oklahoma City that option because of, you know, trading away people. Because you really needed to... You know, appease James.
Mm-hmm. What is the one burning question? I got burning questions for every NFL team. Can you imagine? Can you guess what the Texans is next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5?
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. One burning question from every NFL team. And some of them are pretty easy. Does Cam have anything left? Did the Chiefs fix their offensive line? I think they did. Does Ben Roethlisberger have anything left? Is Jalen Hurts the answer? Can the Lions win? Can the Giants win with Daniel Jones? Who's going to start a quarterback for the Saints? Is Tua going to pick it up in his second year? Is Matthew Stafford the answer with the Rams? All of these questions. What do you think? Is Carson Wentz going to be able to turn his career around for the Colts? What do you think the Texans is?
Will they trade Deshaun Watson?
What is Deshaun Watson's future? Yep. Yeah, I guess that's it. What would the second question be?
I was going to say something about how can David Culley overcome his substance abuse problem? By the way, he doesn't have one. That's just a joke we make because he called himself a junkie. If you're just
what did he
in.
Say? I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, that's odd considering how much I hammer that.
I don't remember.
What's that music? I don't even know what that is. I can't play it. We've got multiple channels going on. Okay, here it is. David Culley said this.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
That's what he said. So I thought that was going to be the burning question. Can he overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really? What could it possibly be? Does it involve Davis Mills?
What would the second... biggest burning question. Can Lovie Smith fix the defense?
I mean, for us, I guess. But does anyone actually care about that? What will people care about this year for the Texans? Would be my. That's
so
how I would
the
couch
other
it.
Burning. Okay. Who I get? I guess we know Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb are going to catch passes, right? I guess we know.
Like
that.
Who are you looking to and hoping they have a big year? Like, who, what
is
do we care
Phillip
about?
Is Philip Lindsay the answer at running back?
That, really? Is that what I'm excited about? A little running back and see if he's going to be the answer?
Where will they get pressure from?
I'm trying.
Okay, where will they get pressure from?
Jacob Martin.
He's going to have his hand on the ground this year.
As a smaller defensive end.
Yeah. So will they get will anyone have to pass against them?
Oh, man. If you try to think.
Shaq Lawson.
Mm-hmm. Try to think of things you care about on the Texans team. What do you care about?
Well, no. That's not it. I don't care. I mean.
Yeah, it has to be. That's how you develop your burning questions.
But
something that matters to you about this team, and that's why you ask a question about it. What do I care about that needs to be answered?
Yeah, I guess pressure.
Can they find a pass rusher?
Can they find a pass rusher? Will anyone step up and yeah. Okay. Under over leading sack getter for the Texans.
A total?
6.5.
Ooh, Lovey's a 4-3 guy. I'm going to say under. They don't have a legit pass rusher on the roster.
Not one. Jacob Martin is their best pass rusher. Well,
the most accomplished.
I don't want to hear about Whitney.
The most accomplished one is Shaq Lawson in terms of number.
And he doesn't. What has he gotten?
He's not a big-time pass rusher, but he would be the most accomplished guy on the roster as far as accumulating
sacks.
That's
terrible.
Well, what else? Well, yes, they're terrible. Look at the roster. Shaq Lawson has a career 20.5 sacks over.
Whitney has more than that.
Yeah, but now. We're talking about now. Guys who can still kind of do it. And he had, I don't know, what did he have, 4.5 last year or something? He had 4 sacks last year.
4 and 6.5 the year before.
Yeah.
Who has more,
you
he
said,
or Whitney?
You said you didn't want to hear from Whitney, so that's why I didn't mention Whitney.
Who has more the last 2 years?
Probably Whitney. Right.
What did he have, 6.5 and 4?
10.5 for the last 2 years. So it's probably Whitney Merciless.
Whitney has 11.5.
Yeah, but you said you didn't want to hear his name, so I gave you Shaq Lawson.
Yeah, I don't want to hear his name.
See?
So Whitney has 54 sacks. He's by far the most accomplished. He had a 12-sack season.
How long ago?
She's had 2.5, 1.7.
But how old is Whitney and how long ago were those productive
years?
But
he's still the most accomplished. He's got 54.
He's
got more than Shaq the last 2 years.
You didn't want to hear from Whitney, so I gave you Shaq Lawson.
I don't want to hear about Whitney Merciless.
How can I tell you about what he's accomplished?
Whitney
you don't want to hear
Merciless.
From him? I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
All I'm telling you is you didn't want to hear from him about him, so I gave you the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the burning
question.
Obviously, Deshaun is the burning question. What's going to happen? What kind of draft capital are they going to get for him?
Yeah.
What kind of, you know, how is he going to ever get out of this mess that he's in? Does anybody want all of those things? All of those things.
Is he on
but
Zoom
after
meetings?
After that, okay, is David Culley the answer?
Nothing about this roster is going to give you any indication unless they overachieve.
No.
And then you can say, okay, David Culley got the most out of this bad football team.
David Culley might be a better head coach than Bill Belichick. No one will ever know.
Not based on this roster.
No one will ever know about Steven Silas. No one will ever know about Bo Porter. No one will ever know about Bo Culley.
We can be very wrong about the Steven Silas thing. I know people like him, like his demeanor and, you know, being the offensive guy that he is. But I just don't see how he comes out of this being successful as a Rockets coach.
Yeah.
Because the worst team in basketball this year, unless whoever they draft is a transformational figure, no one believes one of those guys exists, at least not as a rookie in this upcoming draft class, he's going to be bad again. And then we're talking about and is he going to make a year 3?
No, I don't think he makes it past 2 years. No, he can't, not with the records that they're going to have.
We've seen bad teams be really patient. Like the Kings are like, yeah, we're bringing back Luke Walton. And the Kings fans are like, no. But they had some thought of making, because they've been bad so long, they thought with De'Aaron Fox and if Marvin Bagley stay healthy, newsflash, he didn't stay healthy, they thought there would be some improvement. There wasn't. And now Luke Walton's coming back. The Rockets won't have even Kings expectations next year, I don't think, unless they make some off-season moves we don't see coming. they're going to be bad next year again. And they will. Is Tillman going to be patient to sit through what a possible 50-loss season next year? Would he be patient to go, okay, let's get a year three out of Steven Silas because it wasn't really his
maybe,
fault again?
Maybe. It's not his fault. And you know what? He's right. It's not his fault.
It's not.
We're the ones that put him in this situation.
Yeah.
So, we're the ones that have gave him this the worst record in basketball history.
I just wonder if there's a level of patience that says, hey, this is beyond his control. We've been a disaster roster-wise for a couple of years, but we believe he can coach. That would speak to something people don't believe about Tillman.
I love this headline. According to Diana Russini, the Falcons could trade Julio Jones next week after the window opens on Tuesday.
Oh, so when they're allowed to trade, could happen?
Well, after the June 1st deadline, yeah. So it moves into next year.
Understood.
Yeah. They could trade him.
So you
no duh.
So the
well, there's a story. So, ESPN.
So the news is, once it'd be more beneficial for them to trade him,
he
could trade him. Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for that. That inside information there, Diana.
You mean the same Falcons organization who was publicizing reports about how there's a first round pick on the table from their Twitter, from their website? That Falcons team could make the trade. The one who was acknowledging news reports about trading Julio Jones. Congratulations to ESPN on that one.
ESPN breaking a story. They might trade him. Okay.
That the Falcons have acknowledged through social media. Yeah, we could trade him.
Yeah. That is... thanks for that. Thanks for that inside scoop. We appreciate it. So, Zach Wilson is already making some news. If you're watching TV and eating a bowl of cereal... Learning the plays and formations, it's kind of like eating that bowl of cereal. You're not really sitting there thinking about eating, lifting the spoon up to your mouth and chewing it. It just naturally happens.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's working on understanding the formation. So it's super quick, understanding the alignment of where receivers should be. And then you start to pick up certain things, certain coverages, how guys run certain routes. It's like eating a bowl of cereal.
Would he have been better off saying it's like riding a bike? Like you don't even think about it at a certain point. You're just riding the bike. Would he have been better off doing that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a guy told me a story yesterday. He said, yeah, you get out of kids. Dal, you don't know anything about this.
Thankfully.
Yeah. You get about 30 minutes of brilliance out of them a day, and the other 23 and a half hours, you got to slap them on the back of the head and tell them, breathe.
Uh-huh.
That's how dumb they are. but, you know, that... Yeah, I guess it's got to happen naturally. This has got to happen naturally. But Zach Wilson apparently is none too happy with New Jersey drivers. Hey, you're going from Utah. Yeah,
Provo. Not even a big city in Utah, Provo.
He's getting used to aggressive drivers getting cut off everywhere. he's like, hey, I'm driving here. That you don't, dude. You're in the rudest area of the country right now. You've gone, well, pretty rude in Utah too, but not if you're white.
Not if you're the quarterback at BYU.
No. They love you. I mean, you can't be lillier white than Zach Wilson.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but in Utah, Zach Wilson's just like, he's one of us. He's our people.
Well, he's from Draper, Utah. He is definitely one of them.
Yeah. So we talk about a culture shock. Going from Provo, Utah to Jersey?
Yeah. Is he living in Jersey or is he living in
well, they
New York?
Work
either
out,
way.
He's probably living over there.
Yeah.
Why? He wouldn't live. Why? And if you play for the Jets, you're in New Jersey all the time.
Yeah. You think Odell lived in Jersey?
Oh, no, he probably lived right in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah. I don't foresee Zach Wilson being that guy. Yeah, but even just the drive times, he can't believe it. Like, wait, the facility is 25 minutes away and I have to leave when?
Yeah.
What? I'm sure even the traffic calculations are something he's got to figure out. Wait a minute, this is like 5 miles away. Why am I leaving at this time to get there on time? Well, what did I see? Didn't Ohtani miss his start because of traffic?
Yeah. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani. And, well, he had his interpreter, and he also had his catcher there, I think, with him. I'm pretty sure that his catcher was there. He had to be scratched from the game. Ohtani could only DH'd yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before. Because he was stuck in traffic. He had to take the BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, because traffic, there was an accident on the bridge.
Yeah.
So he took the BART, and the BART, I don't know, they had a confusion about where he needed to get off and get on another one or whatever. And so he didn't get there by 4 o'clock where he needs to be there to for his start. And so they just scratched him from his start, and he's going to start tonight.
Yeah, now this wasn't like he was – like it's not even a home game like you just pointed out. He was in Oakland, so it wasn't like, oh, he left the house late or whatever.
No, it was the team bus.
Team bus, because they scheduled them to get there on time. He's supposed to get there at 4, like you pointed out, and the bus just kept getting – he couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't go.
So he had to try to get there a different way, as you point – and he couldn't. So, yeah, you're just going to hit tonight.
Yeah. The Bay Area – the BART.
The Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Rapid Transit.
I guess it's just their bus system?
No, it's their trains.
Oh, it's their trains?
Their trains. Okay. Yeah. But he missed his connection. It's a complicated system, and you got to do all kinds of – and, yeah, it's their railway, underground and everything else.
And they
went – their subway, more.
They went on Twitter and acknowledged that Shohei Ohtani could have been – first, wow, what an honor to host a baseball superstar like Shohei Ohtani on BART. We did not experience any issues on our end. We confirmed with Operations Control Center there was no delay for any Coliseum heading train during the Bay Bridge incident. Because they were – quote tweeting someone who pointed to BART as the reason why he couldn't get there on time. They're like, excuse me, wasn't our fault.
What? No. But I think they did have a problem with their connection. They, you know, you have to get off the red line to the blue line or whatever. Uh-huh. And he messed it up.
Apparently BART has some personality, at least the person who runs the account. It is with great sorrow to report also the BART employee who called the OCC to confirm the Ohtani delay was en route to watch BART. Was en route to catch BART to go to the Coliseum to see Ohtani pitch. We are hurting, too, by the news.
I'm sure you were hurting that Shohei didn't get the pitch against you.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. 1043 ESPN 97.5. What's next? News of the weird.
What we're not pointing out is, did the Angels win last night? Because if Ohtani missed a start and it cost the Astros positioning, we should be pissed at BART, too. Did they win last night? Let's see. Pulling it up. The A's won 5-0.
Well,
that affected the Astros. Ohtani not pitching last night.
Nice job, BART. Jerk.
Stupid.
I know it wasn't you, but still, stupid BART. Your name's BART. That's dumb. All right. News of the weird coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del, apparently Spain has put out postage stamps. The post office put out postage stamps, and they're calling them equality stamps. They're different skin colors. Ooh. Of all of the people of the world.
Okay.
So they're equality stamps, but they have different values. Each of them have different values, Del.
Can I guess?
Which one do you think has the least value?
I'm going to assume the stance with the darker skin tones.
It's the black one. Yeah. But it's equality stance. If they're equality stamps, why aren't they the same
shouldn't
price?
Shouldn't that just be one particular stamp with the same price, just with different? Yeah, I don't know. It's from the government of Spain, correct? So did they explain why the stance with the darker skin tones had less value?
I don't know why.
Look, it's Spain. I don't know. Didn't the Spain national team do the whole Chinito thing too? Didn't they pull their eyes too before the Olympics? I think they're either going to play the Chinese national team or were in China for the Olympics.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think they got in trouble for that.
Yeah. Congratulations. We were just talking about rudest states. Okay. Well, we were just talking about rude places. The rudest states in the country, number one. I don't know that you'll guess this one.
Ooh. It feels like one of those places that pretends to be nice, but they're phony. I'm going to go with Iowa.
Rhode Island. No one even lives there.
Do enough people live in Rhode Island to...
Not only are Rhode Islanders mediocre tippers prone to jerky driving, they're also pretty rude to customer service reps. Not convinced? Just ask 42% of people who say people in Rhode Island are ruder than most states. Second most, Massachusetts, led by Boston.
So it's massholes.
Yep. Virginia, New York, California.
California people. That makes sense to me.
Utah finished eighth.
And
that's just because of the Jazz fans.
Yeah, yeah. Salt Lake. Looking at the Spanish national team picture. It's like from 2000. What year is this? Whatever the year. It's the entire team. Almost like you might expect a team photo, a casual team photo. They all have their fingers near their eyes and pulling them and making them more slanted. It's back in 2000. Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. So that's rude. I think that's rude.
Yes.
What else do we got here? Oh, you remember the white woman at Central Park who was calling the police about the bird watcher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's suing her old employer for racial bias.
How so?
Because she got fired over the incident.
But she didn't get fired because she's white. She got fired because she...
Well, apparently she thinks she did.
Does she have evidence that a non-white person who did this would have kept their job?
Racial discrimination is what she's claiming. Because she was racist, she got fired, so you're discriminating against...
Does she know how this works?
A white person.
She would have to prove that a person of another race who did the same thing would be allowed to keep their job.
Yeah... I don't know. It's convoluted.
How is she?
I don't think she's going to win.
No.
But okay. But she's suing anyway.
Okay.
So a guy goes to a sleep apnea study, find out why he's not sleeping well. His tab was $10,322 for the study. Now he can't sleep because he can't pay. Because
he's stressed about the bill.
I know why you can't sleep, because you owe us $10,000.
And you don't know how you're going to get that done. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, study over.
Apparently, a drunk driver who stole an SUV, he slammed into a rehab center. He drove his car into the rehab center. Conveniently,
the only thing better would be he was on a break from that rehab center and then crashed into it.
A Canadian lawmaker has apologized being caught urinating on camera during a virtual parliamentary proceeding. Now, this happened just weeks after he appeared naked.
Wait. So he took his laptop into the bathroom?
I don't know. Or maybe it just was facing that way.
And he walked. Yeah. This is why you don't put yourself on camera. Like there have been times, not a lot, where I will be in the room for one of those virtual meetings we've had here. Doesn't happen a lot, but when it did, you know what I did?
Because
I'm laying in bed watching TV, my camera's off. I don't want to be seen.
No, you don't have to turn your camera. No,
yeah, volume on camera. Actually, to be honest, I mute. Sometimes I mute the conversation.
Like they think you're there and you're not.
Well, I am there.
No, not really. Dell, this hits home right here. This is your story. Calgarian from Calgary, obviously. Okay. He's charged with road rage against a refugee, and they're saying it was racially motivated.
Okay.
What do you think his defense is?
I don't know, John. What is it?
I hate everyone equally.
That's not racism.
That's right. He's saying, this is not a racial incident. I hate everyone equally. I think, now listen, if you ever get into an incident and you're charged with any kind of racial hate crime,
yeah,
I will testify. No, Dell hates everyone.
See, I would ask you to, yeah, in that case, if it's a crime, then you're going to have to say hey to everyone. But that's been misconstrued. It always has been. I don't care enough about any of you. So it's not a hate. It's a lack of care.
Yeah.
So if Dell wasn't very nice to me, you think it's because of this? No, he does. He's not.
No,
he doesn't. Not that he hates you.
He doesn't
you.
Care about everyone equally.
And it's not a, and doesn't care doesn't equal dislike. I don't care.
Well, do you care about Casey Anthony?
I mean, no, really. But what has she done now?
Well, she's sad.
Aw.
Apparently, she keeps getting drinks thrown in her face in Florida bars.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's something you might have to fade for the rest of your life. That's just how it's going to be.
Hi, I'm Casey Anthony.
Don't introduce yourself as that. That's the first
step.
Well,
but people know her. I mean, not of her own accord. I mean, she was on, how often? The whole trial was on television.
Well, look, Casey Anthony, you should kind of be pretty thankful that the worst you're experiencing, considering, you know, what surrounds you, a couple drinks in the face.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
That's not so bad for not going to prison for killing your kid.
Or maybe, just maybe, maybe you don't make public appearances. You get all your food delivered.
Casey Anthony can't go to a bar.
Well, don't complain about getting drinks in your face. What's one or the other?
Well, wait a minute. Not everybody who goes to a bar gets drinks thrown in their
face. Well, Casey does.
I know she does.
So that's what I'm saying.
Poor Casey.
Make a choice.
Feel bad about Casey.
Do you?
Nah, not really.
Make a choice. Stay home. No drinks in your face. Go out. Drinks in your face.
There's a lesson learned there. You know what it is? Don't kill your kid.
I really hope people don't need the drink in the face to let you know that's a bad idea.
There's a lesson learned.
I would hope that lesson got learned, you know, before you did it.
All right. We're done. It's a holiday. We'll see you again on Tuesday, everyone. Have a great and safe Memorial Day weekend. Charlie Polillo's next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.